So if you're 21 and below, no, 20 and below, please invite your friends for Youth Alpha. You can look for Kenneth. Kenneth is taking care of the young people. All right. So we are now on the fourth Beatitudes. Are you aware that we have a sermon series at 11:30? It's the most under-publicized. But anyway, do you know the name of our sermon series, by the way? Oh, Kingdom Priority, yeah. Kingdom Priority. And we are basing it on the Beatitudes, Jesus' Beatitudes, the reasons how to be blessed, how to be happy. So we are now on the fourth Beatitudes. This is one of my favorite topics, hunger. So we have done three Beatitudes. Let me get my pointer. Let me read the Beatitudes once again to refresh us. Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. So these are the Beatitudes, the reasons how we can be happy. So these are really the values that Jesus wanted Christians to promote, for Christians to internalize, to practice, and to exercise. How to be happy? Follow the Beatitudes. Simple as that. You need to be hungry. You need to be poor in spirit. You need to be pure in the heart. You need to be merciful. These are all these things, how we can be happy. Really a contradiction to what the world is promoting, isn't it? So, what are we hungry for? It's about lunchtime. I asked Ian, you know, normally for our Beatitudes, we have like a little door gift. 2 weeks ago, we had this feather bookmark. You know, do you remember what Beatitude that was? Meek. Gentle, right? The feather is very gentle. Blessed are the meek. Blessed are the gentle. And so I asked Ian Quack, so what kind of door gift should we give? You know, blessed are the hungry, blessed are the thirsty. He said, hey, let's do away without the reception, without no food for today. That'll be your door gift. Okay, so today we have no food. Oh. No, not to worry. You guys are Singaporeans. Singaporeans must have food. We have some food, but today we have a different type of door gift. Later, the welcome team will give out to you guys. So what are you hungry for? What are people hungry for? You know, we are seeking many things in life. We are hungry for popularity, status, affirmation, acknowledgement. Even for us, when we come into the 11:30 service, we want to be acknowledged. We want a little smile from someone, right? We want to be acknowledged. We are hungry for things. Some of us are hungry for love, for friendship. What are we hungry for? Here are some illustrations I found on the internet. This is what the world is feeding our hunger. Hunger for popularity, hunger for fame, hunger for acknowledgement. Hunger to feed our ego, to feed the emptiness of our life. The number of likes on our social media accounts, the numbers of approval. We are seeking all those. We are really hungry for all those things. When I was younger, I was a very chubby boy, and I had body image issues as well. And I was hungry to be accepted by my peers. I was in all boys schools, and you know, boys, they're quite mean. So they'll call me names, and I felt very hurtful. And so in my teenage years, I starved myself. Yeah, I went on a diet, I even cycled to school, and I was at my slimmest at 68 kg. Wow. 68 kg. That was the lightest I've ever been after I reached puberty. Okay, so I was really proud of myself, but I didn't receive the acceptance or affirmation or even the acknowledgement that I hunger for. And you know, in the world, in the recent news, have you heard about this? About Katy Perry? She was doing a live stream on YouTube. So they showcased her 24 hours, you know, what she did and all the exercises that she does and so on. And during one of the interviews, she broke down and cried. And she opened up about her haircut. Do you prefer Katy with a short hair or long hair? Who say long hair? Who prefers short hair? Ah, long hair. One matter. Short hair. Who care? Who doesn't care? Yeah. But you know, she is, as a mega pop star, she cares. The length of her hairstyle really can generate a lot of response. People might want to copy her hairstyle as well. So she broke down and this is what she said. I feel ashamed that I would have, she shared about her suicidal thoughts. She had depression. This is a mega pop star, adored by millions of people. Everyone just want to be like her. But she had her struggles, her emptiness, her hunger. And she shared that about her suicidal thoughts as well. So this is what she told in the interview. I feel ashamed that I would have those thoughts, feel that low and that depressed. And this is what she said. You can be right or you can be loved. I just want to be loved. That is her hunger, just to be loved. And further on, she said, by the way, her real name is Katherine Hudson. And she said, I'm really strong as Katy Perry. Sometimes I'm not as strong as Katherine Hudson. That is her hunger. She had all the fame, the riches, the success. We thought that she would be satisfied. But actually, she's still hungry. She's still so hungry as Katherine Hudson. And some of us, all of us, we also are hungry. Hungry for love. Hungry for affirmation and acknowledgement. And another pop star, Drake. By the way, I didn't know he came from a Jewish background. His mother is Jewish. He's a Canadian, by the way. He's not American. And this is what he said. Another mega pop star. I'm always going to work like I have something to prove. When I read that, it sort of resonated with me. If I felt I'm not a megastar, I'm not a pop star. But I felt the sense of sadness and hunger. He can have any woman he wants. He can have all the riches he wants. He even has a shoe named after him, right? And yet, he has something to prove. That's his hunger. That is his thirst, to always prove to be successful. So today, I just want to share three things we can learn from the Beatitudes. We can learn from all these celebrities and even the people around us as well. But Jesus has offered us the solution to this hunger that we have. And the acronym is EAT. I like acronyms. EAT. The first one is eternal satisfaction. Second, alignment to God's will. And lastly, train in righteousness. When we talk about eternal satisfaction, blessed are the hungry, blessed and thirsty, thirsty for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. So this is something that we are hungering for. In order for us to fill our stomachs, to dry our thirst, we need to seek eternal satisfaction. And eternal satisfaction can only be found in God. All the things of this world are fleeting. This is a story of Esau. These are the two boys of Isaac. If you know the story, they were twins. Esau is a man with a beard. He is very hairy. He was the firstborn. And one day after a hunt, he was famished. So he saw Jacob. Jacob is the younger child. He was making a stew, and it smells really delicious. And So let me read it to you. It's from Genesis chapter 25, verse 29. So Jacob was cooking some stew. Esau came in from the open country, famished. He said to Jacob, "Quick, let me have some of that red stew. I'm famished." Jacob replied, "First, sell me your birthright." And then, so what was Esau's reply? "Look, I'm about to die. What good is birthright to me?" But Jacob said, "Swear to me first." So he swore an oath to him, selling his birthright to Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau some bread and some stew. He ate and drank and then got up and left. This is what the verse says, the last verse. So Esau despised his birthright. In those days, birthrights are very important. To be the firstborn, you inherit your father's properties, your father's everything. And you have that status, you have that position. Esau chose to sell it for a bowl of stew. What was his hunger? He wanted to just meet the hunger, his immediate hunger. But he didn't have any eternal foresight. And some of us, sometimes we choose to sell eternal satisfaction for temporal satisfaction. We're willing to give that up for fleeting pleasures, fleeting desires and lusts. It's so sad that Esau did not value his birthright. He chose to sell it over a bowl of stew. It shows that he does not deserve the birthright. And if you know the Bible, Jacob became the chosen one. And that's why we say, God of Abraham, God of Isaac, and God of Jacob. If only Esau had that eternal desire, that desire for eternal satisfaction, we'll be declaring, God of Abraham, God of Esau. Sadly, he chose to sell it for a bowl of stew. For us, we find it ridiculous. But sometimes we also make that same mistake. We chose to give up eternal satisfaction for temporal pleasures. And of course, another one, the story is, of course, Adam and Eve. They exchanged their inheritance for a lie. They could have been rulers. They were the chosen one. They were to take care of this beautiful paradise. But they were tempted. Let me read for you the account from Genesis chapter 3. So the serpent, the devil, lied to Eve. "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman. "For God knows that when you eat from it, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil." When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom. So Eve wanted to be like God. She wasn't satisfied to be loved, to be taken care of by God in the Garden of Eve. There was a dissatisfaction. It was an unholy dissatisfaction, a hunger for power, for status, for self-justification perhaps. So she ate it. And you know the story. And that's why we are here, right? Because of Eve and Adam, they choose to exchange eternal inheritance for a lie. And some of us, we are like that too. We are lied to. We are blinded by the things of the world. We think these are more special. But actually, in truth, things of God are really more special. They're really more important for all of us. So what can we offer? What did Jesus offer that we can be blessed? That we can feel our hunger? This is what Jesus is offering for all of us. This invitation is open. This is what he said, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." And later on in John, Jesus also said, "Everyone who drinks this water will be thirsty again, but whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst." So Jesus is the living bread. He is also the living water. When we drink from him, when we eat from him, we're not cannibals, but in a sense we dwell with him. We put our faith in him, that he is our living bread, it will give us such wonderful satisfaction, that eternal satisfaction, that all this, all the things of the world cannot fill us, but only Jesus can fill us. And I just want to share with you of this young man. His name is Saint Augustine of Hippo. He was a rich man, and he was a womanizer too. He was a player. They call it ABC, right? Buaya, alligator, buaya, crocodile. Anyway, he was a flirt. He had many women. He was into debaucheries, drinking, and so on. Yeah, and he was, we might easily dismiss, oh, he's a womanizer and so on. But he was also a very intellectual man. He was a philosopher. He likes philosophy. He will attend talks by philosophers to hear them. He studied rhetoric as well. So he was a very learned man, but he was empty. He was hungry. One day, he was in a garden with his friend. So that's a picture of his friend. This is a medieval painting of St. Augustine. And he wept. He heard a child singing. This is how the story goes. The child was singing a song that says, "Pick it up, pick it up." Okay, now I do not know the tune, but it sounds like a rap. But pick it up, pick it up. Pick what up, right? You might wonder. Pick it up. So he had access to a Bible. So he opened it up. And the verse that spoke to him was from Romans. So this is what he says. "Not in carousing and drunkenness, not in sexual excess and lust, not in quarreling and jealousy. Rather, put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the desires of the flesh." From Romans chapter 13. So after reading this scripture, Augustine felt that his heart was flooded with light, with God's love. God, he was so convicted. He turned 180 degrees from a life of debauchery, womanizing, and so on. He gave his life to God. He was baptized. And even his friend, the one who was painted there, was baptized as well. And if you notice about this painting, there's a peacock there. Interesting. And look at the peacock. It's turning its back away from Augustine. Peacocks are symbols of pride and arrogance, of worldly beauty and so on. In a way, Augustine turned his back from that symbol of the peacock. Yeah. So, and if you know about Augustine, he was a great theologian. He wrote wonderful things. And our vicar wrote a commentary about him last week in the bulletin about the city of God. And this is what he wrote. "Our hearts are restless until they rest in you." In a way, our stomachs are empty. Our throat are parched and thirsty until we find Jesus, until we rest in Jesus. The second person I want to share is, oh, by the way, Augustine had this revelation at a very young age of 32. So he was considered a young adult. Another young adult here, Martin Luther, the great reformer that challenged the Roman Catholic Church. He was a brilliant man as well. He was a monk and he was a professor. He was a priest, okay? So he studied God's word. And you know, in those days, he was also hungry. You might think a man of God, he would have been satisfied, but he was also hungry. And some of us, we are Christians for many years, but in a way, we lose that hunger for righteousness. We are still also hungry. So intellectually, he was a brilliant man. He knows the Bible. He was a professor in the University of Winterberg in Germany. A learned man. But one day, also from the book of Romans, he read the book of Romans. And one of his greatest fear is to go to hell. So he lived a life of fear. He felt so fearful. And he always wanted to do righteous things because he felt that he was so hungry. But his hunger was based on fear, based on self-justification. He needs to prove himself all the time. In a way, it's like Drake, right? Holy Drake, perhaps. So, but Martin Luther, one day, he had a revelation as he was reading the book of Romans about righteousness, God's righteousness. At last, let me read for you this quotation. At last, meditating day and night by the mercy of God, I began to understand that the righteousness of God is that through which the righteous live by a gift of God, namely by faith. Here I felt as if I were entirely born again and had entered paradise itself through the gates that had been flung open. So he had a born-again experience. He was from being hungry and dissatisfied with just knowing God on an intellectual level. God filled that hunger. He doesn't have to prove himself to be righteous anymore because Jesus has become righteousness for him. And Luther was hungry for that real righteousness, and it only can be found in Jesus. So some of us, we need to prove ourselves to be holy, to be righteous. We don't need to prove it anymore because Jesus is our righteousness. Jesus has died on the cross for us, and he is, in a way, our eternal satisfaction. Okay, second point. All of you are hungry for lunch, right? Okay. Second point, A, alignment to God's will. We need to be aligned with God's will. When we are hungry for God, slowly God will help us by his grace and mercy align ourselves to his will, to his purpose. And like Jesus, our food is no longer things of the world. Our food is from God's word, obeying God's will and so on. This is a picture of this is from a movie. Jesus, when he was tempted in the desert, he was tempted in the desert for 40 days. And the devil came to tempt him, change this stone into bread. But Jesus' rebuke was, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that comes from the mouth of God. And all of us, we no longer just live on earthly food. We live on the bread of life, which is Jesus, from the word of God that sustains us, that guides us in everything we do. You know, as you read what's happening in the news, the biggest news right now is the family feud over 38 Oxley Road, isn't it? It's sad. I'm not sure whether you should to be amused or to just be saddened by it, but I feel so sad by it. If there are principles, godly principles that govern everything, if their bread was not of promoting a certain legacy or a certain I'm right, you are wrong, but to really eat from the word of God, to align to God's principle, I don't think it won't be so messy as it is now. That's my take. And I think it's a good principle for us to live by, that we do not live on bread alone, but every word that comes from the mouth of God. And another verse from Jesus, my food is to do the will of him who sent me and to accomplish his work. This is a verse shared by Dennis when we were praying last week. Normally before service, we will gather to pray. And Dennis shared this, Dennis, our worship leader, he shared this verse, that what is our food? What gives us satisfaction? And for Jesus, it is to do the work of the Father. And I pray that it is also our desire, our food. It is not to build a name for ourselves or live behind a legacy, but it's really to give glory, to give Yahweh all the glory. That is the food, our food, to do his will, to accomplish God's work on earth. And of course, at the Garden of Gethsemane, before Jesus was arrested, this was his prayer. Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me, yet not my will, but yours be done. When we are hungry for righteousness, we slowly begin the process of aligning our lives and will to God. This cup is a symbol for our lives. What is in your cup? What feeds us every day? What are on your thoughts? What is on your heart? What is in your stomach, basically? Your dreams, your ambitions, your struggles. What is Jesus' cup? His cup is a cup of sacrifice, a cup of love. And Jesus was crying out to God, please take this cup. I'm not willing to die if you are willing. But yet, not my will, but yours be done. In a way, we are drinking that cup as well when we align our will with God. A cup of sacrifice, a cup of putting others first. In your workplace, in your family, in your school, you choose to put God first. And that is what the Beatitudes, kingdom priority, is all about. That is our cup. Not a cup of self-ambition, cup of just glorifying ourselves. It's really to drink that cup of eternal satisfaction. My last point before we go for lunch. I know you guys are hungry. Training in righteousness. This hunger leads us to be trained in righteousness. And this is what the Bible says from Hebrews. No discipline seems pleasant at time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. So when we hunger for righteousness, it's not an easy process. To be filled, we will be satisfied. And it doesn't end there. It is a process of righteousness. Are you willing to be trained in righteousness? Like for us, some of us are into fitness. Recently, I joined a gym. And one of my life goals is to skip. Yeah. You might look, skipping, what's so big deal about? I wasn't able to skip last time. Jump rope. Yeah. So now I know how to jump rope. Okay. So, but I need to train, yeah, and make mistakes and so on. And another life goal is to do a pull-up. Who can do pull-up here? I can't do pull-up, okay? I can't do a pull-up. So during the lesson, they say, okay, we're going to have 30 pull-ups. I say, what? So they will put me, I'll do the other side. There will be like ring pull-ups, and then they give me an elastic band to help me. And then maybe there's another one called jumping pull-ups. Yeah. So all these things. There's this lady who just gave birth. She can do like 10 pull-ups, and wow. I want to be trained like her. Yeah. So to be trained in righteousness takes time, takes work, takes sacrifice. And you want to be trained in righteousness like our Lord Jesus, you'll face temptation. When you start to hunger for righteousness, the devil won't be lying down, resting on his laurels. He'll come to pursue you. Perhaps you are hungering for righteousness. I'm going to give up on pornography. I'm going to give up on gossiping. Guess what? You search for something, immediately something different. Or your colleague, hey, you want to hear juicy gossip? Temptations. When you start to hunger for righteousness, the devil will come to tempt you. And Jesus, he was tempted and he was hungry. But you know the story about Jesus' temptation. He succeeded. He was victorious. So when we are willing to be trained in righteousness, do not give up. Okay, my last point. Well, actually, it's not. That was my last point. This is my, and I'm just going to call up the worship team. So in summary, we need to eat. eternal satisfaction. Alignment to God's will and to be trained in righteousness. What are you hungry for? What is in your cup? What are you hungry for? What are you thirsty for? Is it the things that are fleeting? Let me offer you something even greater that will satisfy you. That is Jesus, His righteousness. Would you offer yourself? Would you let God fill your cup? This cup. Would you drink it and be part of God's will, God's alignment for your life? No more struggle, no more striving. Come to the cup of Jesus. He is the living bread. He is the living water. Would you come to Him? We're going to sing this response song. And I'm just going to invite you, shall we all rise as we sing this song? And as we sing this song, I'm just going to invite you as well to come up for prayer. If you need prayer, what are the things that make you feel really, really hungry? You are striving for things and you don't feel satisfied. You feel so unfulfilled. Come to Jesus. Drink from His cup. He is the bread of life. He is the living water. Come to Jesus. The ministry team will be here to pray with you. Just come. This is a place between you, for you to just be yourself with God.
Before Him, for He is exalted.